Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
And our friend, that we would engage with you everywhere we go, in every place we walk, we would carry your presence with us, and that you would speak to our hearts about what you want to do there and here and in this community right now, Lord, that you would begin to show us vision, that you would show us how we can partner with you as you build your house here. We thank you, Father. We ask that your word would come alive and that we would be hungry and we would go after it. We ask that your spirit would come alive in us and that we would make way for it. We thank you, Lord, that we have faith to partner with you. We release that faith right now that you can do more than we could ask or imagine. Thank you. Thank you. We thank you that as we plan our course, you determine our steps. We invite you to rule and reign here and in our hearts.
Again, it is a blessing to see you all here. And before I get into what I think the Lord would have me share today, I wanted to pick up a little bit on something that Matt shared during worship, the idea that sometimes we make some of the things in our lives, the difficulties, the problems, and the struggles that we have, we actually make them into idols. That was kind of a new perspective for me. But it was right in line with something that was in my meditation this morning, something that I wrote in my daily blog. I won't talk too much about the entirety of that. You can check it out if you like. It's on my site at veinsoftruth.com. It's a daily devotional blog. But it was from Psalm 34, and the psalmist says in there, the one part in particular, he said, "The Lord rescued me from my fears." And when I meditated on that this morning, it really resonated with me that's really what we need to be rescued from. You see, we don't need to be rescued from our sickness. We don't need to be rescued from our financial problems. We don't need to be rescued from any of those things that are going on in our lives, because on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." That's already done. He's already rescued us from all the problems. We need to be rescued from fear. So I just, you know, it just seemed like that fits so well with what Matt shared. And I just encourage you to just be rescued from your fear. And Matt already said that last week we saw a message from Haggai. He challenged us with that message, and within that he we heard again the scripture that's been so foundational to us from John 10:10 that says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly." And that's the journey that we're on here, individually and collectively. It's to know that abundant life, to have that abundant life that Jesus came to give. And I'm not going to review the message from last week, but like Matt did, I encourage you to listen to it again if you were here, and listen to it for the first time if you didn't. It's on our podcast. You can find it at dwellatthewell.com. What I hope to do this week is to encourage us from our monthly scripture challenge. Hopefully you've been reading. The good news is that if you just started, the section that I want to share is from the very beginning of that challenge. We're reading from Philippians to 1 Timothy, all those books. But the one that I want to focus on today is from the very beginning there. Our scripture reading that we're doing, it's vital to our becoming and receiving all that God has for us individually and collectively to walk in what God's called and commissioned us to do. Another verse that's been foundational to us is Romans 10:17 that says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." And so as we read the word, our faith should increase. As we hear the truth of his word rather than the lies of the thief, we can believe and we can receive the abundance of Christ. And that should be our hope each Sunday as we come here. And again, Christian hope isn't that we're wishing for something, but it's an expectancy. When we have a hope, it's an expectancy. We believe it to come. Our hope should be that our faith would be increased by the hearing of his word. So the portion of scripture, again, that I want to begin with and focus on is from Philippians 1:1-11. Philippians 1:1-11. "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may discover the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." And what I want to focus on today in particular is verse 6. Paul says, "I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you," some translations say "in you," so it's appropriate for us. It's among all of us and in each of us. "He who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus." And I think there's good news for us in Paul's confidence about God's good work. Because we often tend to get maybe where we feel a little guilty or a little shame that we're not there yet, that we have so far to go. But the truth is, the good work that God has begun will be completed. If not now, if not tomorrow, if not next week or even next year, then by the day of Christ, by the day he comes. the basis of journalism and the basis of deductive reasoning is to answer five basic questions. Do you know what those five questions are? Who, what, when, where, and how. Not necessarily in that order, but that's the order we're going to look at them. That's how we're going to look at the scripture today. So we begin with the question of who. Who is this verse of scripture about? First, there's two answers. The first is that it's about God. The scripture says, He who began a good work in you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. And then second, it's about you. It's about us. It says, He who began a good work in you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. God's the one that's going to complete the good work in us, in you, and in me. We've been talking about the three C's, communion, community, and commission. And this is really about our relationship with God. It's about what He's doing in us and for us, individually and corporately. God's the one that's going to complete the work. But we're also going to see later on when we look at the how question that we do have a part to play in it as well. For now, the second question then is what? And the what is answered also in the verse. So what's the what? The what is the good work. It's the good work that God will complete. The good work has many parts. There's a lot of things that God may be working in us and for us to complete. It can be our faith. It can be healing. It can be knowledge of Him. It can be walking in our calling. All those are things that God's working in us and for us to complete. In its simplest form, though, I would say that the good work is that we're being sanctified. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Everything that happens in our lives, all the good things and all the difficult things, are being used for our good, to conform us to the image of Christ, to help get rid of us and make us more like Him. Amen. If we're conformed to the image of Christ, then we're also being restored to what God really intended and intends for us from the very beginning. In Genesis 1:26, He said, Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth. That's the end result. That's the completed work that will be done by the day of Christ Jesus. That we would be like Him, restored to what God intended from the very beginning. That we will reign and rule with Him. That's what it says in the last book when we read what's going to happen in the end. That we're going to reign and rule with Him. The third question is when? And again, there's two parts to that answer. There's the finite time that we're in, and the when of that finite time is that it's going to be completed in the day of Christ Jesus, or by the day of Christ Jesus. And whether that day is the day that He returns, or whether it's the day that we individually stand before Him at the end of our days, we shouldn't be discouraged. The completion of this work isn't meant to be achieved quickly. It's an ongoing process that will continue until the day of Christ's return, until our days are complete. The second part, though, of the answer to the question of when is understood in recognizing that God's eternal. He's the one who is and was and is to come. And in the eternal realm of God, in the heavenly realm, everything that's needed, everything that's necessary has already been done. For example, in Revelation 21:4, It tells us he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, and there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. So tell me, what do you think? What do you think? Are there tears? Are there death? Are there mourning? Are there crying? Are there pain in heaven today? No. Those things are already banished from heaven. In John 19:30, when Jesus was on the cross, again, he said, "It is finished." And God's not limited by the finite time like we are. He's not disappointed that the work in us is not complete in our time, because he knows it will be completed. He knows the end as well as the beginning. And you know the neat part is, he sees us as the work is complete. He sees us through eyes that say the completed work, regardless of all the mess that we might see. Sometimes we don't see that evidence in this realm, in ourselves. But the work of God is already complete in eternity. That's what it means for us when we pray that the way that Jesus taught us, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We're to pray that what's already done would also be manifested here. So the when God will complete the good work in us is in the future, when the day of Christ comes, and the when is here and now. It will be done, and it's finished. So next we address the question of where. Where will God complete the good work that he's begun? And recognizing the answer to when also helps us to answer the question of where. Because the scripture says, "He who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus." And again, he said, taught us to pray saying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the where is in the heavenly realm, and it's here on earth. It, the good work, will be completed by God for us in the future, here and in heaven. But it's being completed now for every one of us on earth. It's finished in heaven, and it's being completed on earth. And that then brings us to the final question: how? The how is kind of what's going to bring it all together, bring together the what, the who, and the when, and the where. And it's going to give us the application for our lives. It's going to tell us what we have to do to walk in that completed work. So we go back to Romans 8, 28 and 30, where it says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." That's us. "For those whom he foreknew," that's us, "he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." Again, it's God that's going to do the work. And it's God that called us and justified us and glorified us. We're already called, justified, and glorified, but we have a part to play. Individually, each one of us, we need to continue to love God, because it said it works together for those who love God. So we need to continue to love God regardless of the things that are happening in our lives, whether it's good things or bad things, difficult things. We need to run to God in every situation, not from him. It's not only his word that we need, that's important, but we need his presence in the good times and in the bad times. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have." We heard that at the end of worship too, that we need to be content. "Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." And as I look at examples of people in Scripture, I think that perhaps David, the psalmist, was one of the most close to living in that completed work of God. And part of it was his contentment. In Acts 13:22, it says, "God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." So he was walking pretty close to God. In Psalm 37:4, David says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." In Psalm 23:1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." As long as we have God, there's nothing else that we can want or should want. And then Ephesians 4 also speaks of the how the work will be completed in us. And this is corporately through community. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 7, says, "To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Skipping down to verse 11, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to a unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ." Sounds like the completed work that God's trying to do in us. "That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined together and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." That's the role that we have as community in completing the good work that God has begun in us. We're to encourage each other, and we're to help each other to grow up. And it says, the end result, that we all come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God as a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, Matt's encouraged us through a lot of his messages that we need to prioritize God, and we need to prioritize community, and we need to prioritize what is good in our lives. We need to guard our hearts and our minds, protecting them by taking care of what we watch, what we listen to, and how we spend our time. We need God to be a priority, and we need community to be a priority. With that in mind, there's one additional thing that we can each individually do as our part in completing the good work that God's begun in us. And this was shared a couple of weeks ago when we were blessed to have John and Sandy Shantz here. Again, if you missed that, it's on the podcast. Catch up with that. When they were here with us, Sandy shared from Philippians 4, 4 through 9. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. "Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And here's the part. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there be anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So today I just say, be encouraged, because I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can count on the fact that you are the one that will complete the work. We thank you that everything that's necessary for it to be completed has already been done, that it's already finished in heaven, and we need only to walk by your grace through this world, through this life. In every situation, in every circumstance, Lord God, we love you. We run to you. We thank you, Lord God, for the finished work of the cross, for the completion of your good work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeds.